today's God's word is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, 1 to 3, and 7 to 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Joshua's aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set foot, as I promised Moses. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Now put our hands together and welcome Pastor YC.
Good afternoon, church. And welcome some of our friends and our new friends as well. From this week all the way until end of September, we'll be studying the book of Joshua, but in a very quick pace, so we won't be doing every chapter, but today I'll try to cover 6 chapters for all of you. I think it's a good stage in our church life right now. We study about this book of Joshua, and our sermon will be focusing on that and how we can launch out in faith. And before I start off, I want you to watch this video of a testimony of a sister who had just been baptized two hours ago, okay, in our morning service today. Let's look at this and listen.
蝴蝶姐妹，你在还没有认识主之前，你是怎样的生活？早上起来。 烧香咯，冲凉了就下来就烧香咯。然后早上就出去吃早餐咯。OK。然后下午的时候五点的时候又是烧香咯。所以以前你是拜拜的哦，我也是拜很多。拜了5、6十年了。你是怎样会认识耶稣呢？我以前有跟如意去教堂，去了很多年了啦。
哦，乐林团契啊，乐林团契，怎么我都有参加嘛？以前，后来就比较少去了，没有空，也比较少去。后来又再去了，又在那个启发，拜二每个星期二，我有上课，后来我又再认识深一点的神，这样我就相信喽。
然后你上的启发，我记得你上的启发一般的课程，你去加拿大。我去加拿大，那个晚上我有发生一点事，后来我又求主，求主来救我，那主有听到，他又来救我。那我就进了医院，住了2个晚上，那又回来新加坡。
呀，我们有听说你在那个时候是相当危险哦，差一点不能上飞机啊。哦，住那个
ICU。呀，所以你回来之后呢，你又怎样的进一步？你经历神呢？我有领到神有在我的身边，这样哦，有感觉到。
每次祈祷他都有好像有听见的，你的呼求啦，每次你呼求，OK， 然后你是怎样决定要信主，要丢掉偶像这些？因为你拜了5、60年，
对呀，不懂嘞，我也不懂我的信心在哪里啦，我一下子就。
送我的神去那个洛阳大伯公，
嗯，
然后我就决定要洗礼咯，
嗯，
这个6月23号我洗礼，
嗯，
好，6月23号他洗礼，可是很不幸的哈，就是在星期天嘛，他星期三去洗肾，他是个肾病的病人，所以一个礼拜要去洗3天肾，所以就刚好他是在 Block 19洗肾，那天就在厕所那边跌倒了，他的这个髋骨这个 femoral bone 就 crack， 就马上送 A&E， 所以礼拜天就不能来参加我们的洗礼，所以他就 miss 掉6月23号。他出院后，我跟岳宁传道，哎，讲华语吗？因为他讲华语。So after she was discharged from the hospital, so Yuan Ning Chuan, I mean, we went to visited her, and then we're just thinking, you know, hopefully that she'll recover. And say, when you recover, we don't know when, okay, we don't know how long the bone will take to heal, and you will come to the church and we'll baptize you. They say, okay. So about three weeks later, he called Lu Yi Jie Mei and said that, no, I'm okay already, not completely healed, but I can get on a taxi. He said, I can get on a taxi, it means I can come to church. I want to come and to be baptized. Now, this sister have gone through a lot of things. No? You realize when he came this morning, he was on wheelchair and he have another, I don't know what kind of machine to help her to do some, I don't know, no, urine to treat the urine or the blood. Not quite sure what it was, and then constantly in pain because many sicknesses. But in spite of her own weaknesses, she was so determined that she wanted to get baptized. And she invited 19 of her friends, Christian, non-Christian, all come this morning. So we want to thank God through that, you know, through she's up 71 this year, I think. So she attended Alpha like a year or 2 years ago. And even in spite of that, you realize that, you know, 60 plus still can attend Alpha and be safe. And we praise God for it. So today, I want to share, you realize that for a decision like this, it really require, and this is when she was in hospital and we visited her. It has really required this faith, you know, that they overcome all these difficulties. As Christians, sometimes, you know, we have some difficulties, we begin to ask God, why this, why that. But in spite of her weaknesses and all the illness that she's suffering, she still have to go for one operation further to remove, I think, the lymph nodes or some of the thyroids because it was infected. So in spite of all this, we spent a lot of money, you know, trying to get herself healed. In spite of all that, she was so determined and continued that she wanted to become a Christian, she wanted to baptize, she sent away all the idols. And one thing that she now mentioned in the testimony is that she used to be a booker, you know what's a bookie? Collect 4D from people privately. And then she'll be doing that for many, many, many years. After she accepted Christ, she said that I'm not going to do that anymore. Immediately the next weekend, she's no longer a bookie. No one asked her to do that. So out of her own heart, her own determination, she really want to live as according to what God require of her. That's wonderful, isn't it? So today we're going to talk about the crossing of faith, the launch of faith. Now, what we have read earlier on in Joshua chapter 1, you say that Moses, my servant, is dead. God is telling the Israelites and Joshua, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. You realize that it is not a suggestion. I think we stay long enough in the wilderness. I think this is not a fun place to be in. Let's move somewhere else. It is not like that. It's that get ready to cross the Jordan River. It was a command. So the Israelites are not meant to stay in the wilderness for life, even though one generation of people have died because of unbelief. But it is not the destination. It was just a place that they need to pass through so that they can enter into the land of Canaan. So get ready to cross the Jordan River. Okay, I'll talk more about that. So Joshua ordered the officer and said to them, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provision ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. First, you need to cross the river. Second, you need to go in. Third, you need to take possession. That is what they are commanded to do. Okay, the first thing you realize that they really crossed the Jordan River, right? And you read the story, you know that when the priest who carry the ark touches, you know, when the feet touches the water, the edge of the river, the water just being dammed up all the way to the city of Adam, which is like 30 kilometers away. And then this water just flow off, and then they will just walk past in dry ground. And they really cross the river. It is really faith. Remember, they cross the Red Sea, and now they cross, the first generation crossed the Red Sea, the second generation crossed the River of Jordan, right? Because the first generation already died in the wilderness. And then not just that, but they did something marvelous, you know, when God commanded them. When you pass through, okay, where the priest was standing in the middle of the river until everyone passed through, and then God asked Joshua, they command the people, you know, there's a representative from every tribe, one person, to carry a rock, a stone, so that they can set it up as a testimony. He said that. And he said to the Israelite, in the future, when your descendant asks their parents, what does this stone mean? Each one carry one stone, so there's 12 stones to set it up there as a monument, okay, in remembrance of what God has done for them. Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dry up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. All this miracle, all this thing that God has done, whether parting of the Red Sea or damming up the River of Jordan, it is all to show to the people of the earth to know that they may know that the Lord, the hand, or rather the hand of the Lord is powerful. Isn't it powerful, the 10 plagues on Egypt? No one ever done that. Even Pharaoh was so hard. His heart was so hard, he had to let go and let the people go. River of Jordan, the same thing. So that the rest of the people will know that the hand of our Lord is powerful. Today, does your friend know that the God that you believe is powerful? And the next thing is that for you, all of you, the Israelite, that you may fear the Lord your God. In other words, this has to be taught to your children. Remember, he says, when your senior future, your descendant asks you, Daddy, why we go to church? Daddy, why you want to become a Christian now? Why Akong Ama always go to church? What do you have to tell? Do you have a testimony that what God has done in your life? And you can point to the heap, just that the Israelite can point to the heap of stone and say that this is what the Lord has done for us. He dry up the River Jordan. Today, this is what the church and as an individual, we have to experience, and then we can tell our next generation what it is. Beside the crossing, church, the faith need advances. We need to advance in church. Not just we say that, realize that after they crossed the river, what did they do? Then at the time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knife and circumcise the Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth, means the mound of the foreskin, okay? And then in verse 10, it says that on the evening of the 14th days of the month, while camped at Gilgal, they already crossed over the River of Jordan. That is the place, Gilgal. And on the plain of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. What did they do the first place? They circumcised the second generation. Why need circumcision? Circumcision is a sign of covenant. Because all this, the first generation, that people that moved out of Egypt already did. They were circumcised while they're back in Egypt. But while they were in the wilderness, they are newborn. They are new generation there. They have not been circumcised. Why circumcision is important? Why baptism is important today as a New Testament? Because it is a sign of always committing to God's covenant. Covenant. The promised land is for the covenanted people. The blessing that God has is for those who believe in Him. That's why God said that unless you are in my covenant, that promised land has nothing to do with you. You can envy other people's success, others' prosperity. You can talk about the blessing of a Christian. But if you are not a Christian, you have no part in it. You see that? Why we want to spread the gospel? Why you want to? Because this is the promise that God gave to his descendant because of his covenant. And first, the covenant, and then the Passover. Passover is what? Passover is that they remember that there's no other, no place, there's no one else that can save them except God Almighty, the Jehovah. So you must know that only God is your God. Only God is your Lord. So they celebrated the Passover. Remember that once we were a slave, our ancestor was a slave, but we were liberated. Who can liberate us from the hands of Pharaoh? There's none other than this God. And you remember that. So they performed the circumcision. They kept the Passover. It's a seal of the covenant with God. And then they're ready to take the promised land, because in the covenant, they are to enter into the promised land as the covenantal people of God. So the ones of, say, they enter into the land, and this is what they do. The covenant was established, right? They performed the circumcision. They kept the Passover. So this is what they are supposed to, just like Christians today. You believe in Jesus Christ, right? You are saved. Right? Often, okay, we'll talk about often, we just remain in where it is. But the advance of faith will continue on to reach, to reap the rewards of faith. What is the reward of faith? Means they're going to possess the land, possessing the land. And then you realize that then the promise is being realized. After so many years, 400 years, 403 years, 30 years in Egypt, and then another 40 years in the wilderness, 440 years almost. 440, how many generations? It's 20 years as a one single generation. Then there's 20 generations that's passed by. But God never forget His promise that He made. So the promise was realized. And then this other promise, I'll just quote you the two verses that when God specifically promised the Israelites. Okay, in Genesis, there's to Abraham, he say, the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will give it to you. Already to Abraham, at the time Abraham, you not even have a son yet. Not Isaac is not even born yet, neither was Ishmael. But God has promised that I will give the land to you. And not just that, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. How many people get out of Egypt? How many people get out, get into the promised land? It's almost 1 million people. Great. Like the dust of the earth. It all materialized. Same, when God chose Moses and called Moses to be the deliverer, so that he can go to Egypt and then to bring the people of God out of the hands of Pharaoh. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave driver, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanite, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So, before Moses even go to see Pharaoh, God already informed him, said that this is what is going to happen. You are going to bring these people, and these people are going to bring them ultimately into the land of Canaan. And then when they enter the Canaan, you realize that the promise that God made to Abraham, the call that God had on Moses, is being realized. The promise is being realized. So from us, in our faith journey standpoint, we are getting from here to there, right, to heaven. And here is where. Here could be that in Egypt, some of us who may not have not received Jesus Christ, you are still in the bondage. You don't have God, Jehovah, as your God. So you're still living in the church. So you can cry out to many gods, but there's only one God that can save you, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save us. And from Egypt, the promise is that God wants to lead us out from bondage into freedom. From sin into the abundance of His grace in Canaan itself, but in the process that this wilderness, that the wilderness is not meant for them to stay for a long, long time. In fact, they want to quickly enter into the Canaan land. In fact, the shortest route is only 11 days they can get into it. But because of what? Unbelief, they were kept in wilderness for longer than they would like to have, or rather God would like them to have. Right? So realize that it's a journey of faith. You begin off with faith, you will end up with faith as well, from faith to faith. And you start off believing. At the time, the journey of faith itself is they do not do anything. They just cry out to God, God help me, God help me. We are screwed here, you know, in Egypt. You know, God, please help us, help us, help us. You know, we have this terrible tyrant, Pharaoh, who oppresses God. You know, please help us. They were crying out to God. And God sent Moses to part the Red Sea and then delivered them. Some of us could be still crying out to God for God to deliver us. But you need to be delivered. God will listen to our cry and He will deliver us. We trust Him. And then as a result, then they enter into this wilderness. And into the wilderness, remember, wilderness is a place that they need to pass through. It's not the permanent resident to be in the wilderness. The permanent destination is in the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. Not in the wilderness, but they need to pass through the wilderness. And after the wilderness, you realize that they need to cross over to Jordan. In wilderness, you may be very happy. You look at the first two phases. When they were in Egypt, are they doing anything to rid themselves of the tyranny of Pharaoh? They cannot do anything. They are overpowered. They're being oppressed. God did everything for them. Right? God did everything for them. When they are in the wilderness, God did everything for them. They didn't need to plant any, don't need to plant grape anyway. The grape won't grow in the wilderness. Every morning, manna, complain. Then Moses, command the rock will flow with water to feed them. Complain, no protein, not enough protein. And then God send quail. Give them quail protein. Give them. You realize that they did not do anything. Now, sometime, it may reflect us as Christians. We may be delivered out from Egypt, but we're happy that God do everything for us. We don't need to do anything. I can stay in the wilderness forever and ever. As long as every day I got manna to eat, I got water. If not, I complain to God, then God give me water. If I don't have anything to eat, I complain to God, then God provide me the inn. I don't have a job, God give me a job. Everything we want, God do for us. But there's two faces, you realize often, God do everything for us. But is that what God really intend us to be? That we don't do anything, God did everything for us, we just enjoy life. God said, enough is enough. This is not the place of your permanent residence. This is not your destination. Your destination is to cross over Jordan and take the Canaan land as a possession, because that is a place of abundance, not the place of scarcity in the wilderness. That's why I say, get out. Get out of the wilderness. Get up and cross the river. It was a command. My dear brothers and sisters, we may be so happy. We may not be happy, but we could be just satisfied with our own life. I'm not a super hot Christian. Neither am I a very cold Christian. I'm lukewarm enough. And that can survive. I come to church, I do some serving, and do this, I do that. I'm happy with it. My life, I got a big problem. I cry to God, God saved me. Oh, and now I got a job, I got this, I got that. I'm quite happy. God did everything for me. But that is not what God to us. God's intention for us is to go into the promised land, to take possession of the land. The land that's abundance. Okay, I'll go to that later. So, we need to cross the river of Jordan, and that is also the crossing of faith. Just like the parting of the Red Sea is of faith, of God's deliverance. So now they're going to cross over. When they cross over, what happened? Then they realize that they need to fight the enemy. Before that, no fighting. Every day, wake up, eat manna, happy, drink water, like eat barbecue, quail. That's their life. No need to do anything. Now, they need to fight. In other words, God wants us to fight, to work. When you see God, in the first two phases, God worked for us. As if that we are the boss. Well, we know that He is a God, He is master, we are the Lord. But the first two, because we can't. We have no power to do it. That's why God help us. But God, now you know God already. God is your provider. God can help you. God say, I save you so that I can continue, or I can use you for my own purpose. I can use you, I can bless you for my work. And so God want them to fight. Many Christians do not want to fight. So we just want to happy with in the wilderness. Enjoying manna, enjoying miraculous saving of God and the provision of God at the very last minute. But there's no abundance. God wants us to have abundance. So we need to fight. The Israelite doesn't want to. That's why God command. Ask Joshua, say, get these people cross over the river of Jordan so that they may fight. And go there, and we know that after years of fighting, they really realize the promise. It means they have the 12 tribes and the allocated the land per the tribes. So in this whole faith journey, you realize that you ask yourself, okay, where are you in the faith journey? Are you still in the wilderness? Are you some of you still in Egypt? You never get out of Egypt. Some of you are entering into the world. Some of you have been in the wilderness. God do everything for you. All that you do is complain to God, pray to God, but you're not going to change anything part of your life. But when you are into the promised land, it will be very different. You need to fight the enemy. What is the enemy in your life that you need to chase away? Any lost ground in your life that you need to take back and give it to God? Maybe your addiction, maybe your secret sin, maybe your selfishness. Maybe some of the other things in your life. The idols that you need to remove from Egypt. You need to take that out of you. So where are you in the faith journey? Safe. That's individual. But as a church, where is our faith journey? Are we just happy with the wilderness? Happy, you know, we have two chongpai, good enough. But are we going to take on the promised land that God gave it to us? The third service is going to come on soon, on the 15th of next month. Okay, September. Later, Pastor Lika will share more of this. Just take note that 15th of September, we're going to do that. But not just about the third service. It is about what? It's about the life multiplication. It's about obeying Jesus. Go out and make disciples. We need to go out and make disciples. It's not just satisfied that we fill ourselves with manna and quail, but we need to go and take ground. We need to conquer land. We need to bring, in the New Testament said, you have to be the fisher of men. So is it possible? Is mission possible? To 2XYY? Where are you in your faith journey? And you will interpret based on your faith status right now. And it is also a spiritual warfare, you know. It is a spiritual warfare. But God will always be the victory if you work with Him. I just share about the sister Yulan this morning that you watched, just now you watched the video. He never gave up. He had a lot of problems. His family got a lot of problems. His children got a lot of problems. Two of his sons has stroke many years ago. So both of them are almost like bedridden. Two sons. And she herself cannot get out of the bed without a wheelchair. And yet she wants to come to be baptized and invited all her mahjong kaki, all her friends to come to witness her baptism. It's a spiritual battle. But never lose heart, because like just like the first battle in Jericho, which is the hardest that they fought, it says that then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. You may have a very strong enemy in your life. God said, I can win. If you trust me and you work with me, you can win over the land and you can take possession of him. So you realize that there's a different levels of faith, if I use the word level. And the faith continues. It starts off with a crossing, right? You need to cross over. You realize that for every major thing that happened in their history, there's a crossing over. And in Nick Griffith, the first thing is that they need to trust Moses. God has sent Moses to deliver them. They need to trust that this God can deliver them out of, and they experience it. And not just that, but they come over to the wilderness and they trust God. See, how are we going to survive in the wilderness? God provide. The 40 years, their clothes, their shoes never went off. They survive. They survive. And then God said that not just surviving, I want you to what? To multiply. I want you to enjoy the abundance that I have for you. So they move on. The faith advances and they cross another river. Okay? They cross the river Jordan. And then they enter into the promised land. And then they begin to fight. Right? Because God is with them. They win. And then they have the rewards of faith. So for every level, there is, you have to believe God for believing God on another level. What is the level in your life that you need to trust God? Some of you may trust God for your exam. Some of you may trust God for your life partner. Some of you may trust God for your finances. Some may trust God for God to heal your sickness. Some may trust God that your loved one may be saved by God. You need that faith. At a different level of it, you require the level of faith. And where were you in your own journey to tap on the faith of God? That's why God encourages Joshua and the people. Say, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You know, successful? Do do not turn away from the word of God. Whatever the word of God say, obey, believe, take it in, right? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Today, prosperous, successful? We most of the time we say that it's due to our smartness. It's due to my higher education. It's due to my connection. All these things. All these things play a part. But without God's favor on you, all these things will fall apart. Do you believe that? But often we enjoy the prosperity and the success in life. That we forget that God played a big part for it. We say, yeah, maybe God played a part, but I played 90% of the thing. God played the 10%. You read the whole book of Joshua and all the war, the battles that they took on, it's always this term keep on coming up. And the Lord delivered, you know, the Amalekite into the hand of the Israel. And the Lord delivered the Jebusite into the hand. You realize this thing again and again. But who was doing the fighting? Joshua and his men. But who actually gave the victory? It's God give the victory. You can do all the fighting that you want. You can do all the connection, all the planning that you want. If don't God don't bless it, you'll be gone. I like there's a stanza in the hymns I love. He says that the good that God does not bless is evil. Okay, remember that? The good that God does not bless is evil. So money can be good. But if God does not bless it, then it is evil. But the evil that you may think evil, that God bless, is good. So to you, can be good, can be evil, doesn't matter. The important, the determining factor is whether God bless it or not. You see that? So when you know, you say, that's why you keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditate it day and night. Why you meditate? When you meditate on something, you're thinking again and again, and unconsciously, subconsciously, it changes your proposition of your mind, proposition of your heart. The condition will change. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When you have done that, then you have this confidence. You can go and fight because the Lord is with you wherever you go. Today, when you go on and fight, do you have the confidence that the Lord is with you? Or you keep on looking back and say that whether God is following you or not. You see that God has brought us so far. First, the first two stages is that God worked for the people. But this is not the whole dimension for salvation, even as Christian, that God always worked for us to bless us, to help us, to deliver us. Yes, God will do that. But the intention of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why does God give his son? Why does Jesus give his life to us? Why? You ask why? Yes, for the redemption of sin. Yes, I know for redemption. But why is it he gives us? What does the giving have to do with the love of Jesus Christ? He gives his life so that he can share his life with us. It's only when in the land of Canaan they share the work of God. The first two phases, they just enjoy what God is doing for them. But in the third phase, they are working with God. God is not going to kill enemy with his breath. God is going to kill the enemy with the sword of Joshua. Today, God can convert the many non-Christian friends, but God wants to use you as a testimony. God wants to use you and me to reach out to these people. He gave his life to us so that he could share his life with us. As parents, some of us are parents, you know, you love to do things for your children. But the greatest joy, you can prepare breakfast for your children for life, but it will be a very blessed, joyful morning if one day you prepare the breakfast together with your children for the family. It's a different level of joy, and God wants that kind of communion and fellowship that he called us into. That's why he said that, yeah, I'm your friend. You call me master, yeah, but I come not to be served, but to serve. But I call you my friend, right? So, and here in this old Bible, in Isaiah 41, he said that So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who take hold of your right hand and say to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Okay, you're Chinese. So, you think 2XYY is something, just a number that we want to achieve? It requires the crossing, the overcoming faith that we have. God say, move on, cross the river of Jordan, and I will work with you to fight the enemy, and you will gain more ground. And that is the place that we are called to be, not in the wilderness. So, 2XYY, it's not just about a number game. It's not just about, we have nothing better to do, and we just try to, cycle ourselves and then get everybody excited about something. So a slogan and agenda. But it's in the heart of God. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. If you abide in Christ, you will bear fruit. Right? You'll bear more fruit, much fruit. Then your fruit will remain and the Father will be glorified in you. Right? So let's prepare our heart. So while we are preparing our heart for this communion, ask yourself, where are you in your faith journey? Are you still in Egypt, looking for a savior? Today I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the savior, the only one. Are you still in the wilderness, enjoying all the provision of God, the supernatural provision of God? Are you now as a co-worker of Christ, co-bearer of Christ? We are yoke-bearer with him. Take my yoke upon yourself. So today God has called his church to rise up, cross the Jordan, go and take the land of Canaan. Go out, your friends, ask for it. I remember there's a Scottish preacher. I can't remember the name of the person. He prayed this prayer, Lord, give me a soul a day. Give me a soul a day. And one day he was, in Scotland, people drinking. He was walking along. It was late in night already, so he was about going home. But he said that today I'm not sharing the gospel with anyone yet. No, God, give me somebody that I can share the gospel with. And they walked past, and this drunkard man was drinking. Then he said, oh, that's probably the only soul I find today before I going back. So he approached this drunkard man. He said, hey, he said, broke my guy. Okay, why are you get drunk? You know of Jesus? You know, then the drunkard man looked at him. He said, go away. Mind your business. Then this preacher turned back. He said, that's exactly what I do. I'm minding my own business. My business is to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage all of us, as much as you know that you can't, God can. As much as you think that you can do it alone, God said, no. Come, I will fight with you. And the more you will be able to co-work with Christ, your fellowship and your love for Christ will you will truly be in love with Jesus.